Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 277 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvath.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we discuss the Huskers' loss to Minnesota and preview Saturday's game against the Sanders family in Colorado.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
You've really been leaning into the Minnesotan sounding deal.
Oh, really? I wasn't trying to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hey there, Justin.
You're just trying to be clear.
Yeah, I guess. When I worked at Scooters back in the day, I would turn on a Minnesotan accent just for fun when I would take people's orders, and then I talk normal when they got to the window. I think it was two different people. But because it was so fun, I would just say, hey there, welcome to Scooters. What can we get started for you? And then, they'd come up to the window and be like, that's $17. At least I'm assuming that's how much coffee costs now. I don't really buy coffee anymore.
Maybe three coffees.
Okay. I just figured with inflation,
Sure. Maybe two.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're in talk about anything but the game mode.
The season is underway. It's happened.
Hey.
It started.
Before we talk about the game, we should remind everybody about what's coming up this Saturday. This weekend, we'll be recording a live episode immediately after the game. And it'll be at Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. So come on out.
It's going to be fun. In addition to the live show, we will be hanging out during the game, mm-hmm. watching the game, and partaking in some Central Nebraska Buffalo Bison Burgers.
Dude.
So, yeah.
I love me a good burger. And I really like Bison Burgers. I mean, have you had many Bison Burgers? I know we've done the Bison Steaks and stuff on the show before, but a Bison Burger is right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, no, they're good. I mean, it's all the flavor of a beef burger but a little bit leaner, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, come watch the game with us, and you can hang out while we record, or you could come for one of those and not the other. Whatever, it'd be great to see you. Come say hi. Mike and I will be there. I know we've got some family and friends coming, so we'd love to see you. Come join us, please. And the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill is it's at the La Vista exit by the big what's the hotel there? The big convention center there.
Oh yeah, I forget what it is.
And the Costco and
I just tell people it's kind of in this. It's in the strip right there next to the Alamo Draft House. That's my landmark for it.
Those are all the things you can see from the interstate, though.
Anyway, Saturday, September 9th. Come what may, we are going to record this episode. It'll be fun. And you can sneak off into the podcast room with us and hang out. And I don't know, we'll maybe do some audience participation stuff. By show of hands, who liked the game? That's going to make for a great audio content right there.
Yeah, yeah. No, we've never done anything live before. We've always just been in our... I mean, there's been a couple times where we sat together in my place or yours.
Mm-hmm.
There was once where we sat on my back patio.
Yeah.
But actually, I did do a brief live podcast on Thursday.
You did?
Yeah, because I was up in Minneapolis for the game and was able to hop on the Go Big Redcasts live broadcast, along with my friend Dean Kathy Farrell and the College Business, and it was really fun. So, thanks to those guys for having us on, and I guess I'm a little bit prepped for doing the live broadcast thing.
Right on. Well, Justin, how was it being in the stadium on Thursday night?
It was fun to be back at a football game. I'll say that. It's a nice kind of cute stadium. I mean, it's new and newer and all, you know, a lot of the amenities. And one thing I liked is that when you go up to the very top, you could walk around there. It's not like the end of the earth and you're going to fall off. but I was in a Nebraska section up towards the top and saw some familiar faces. A good friend of mine from church ended up sitting real close.
Oh, cool.
And some friends from work. And so, you know, I enjoyed the area. It was a strange game. There was a moment, you know, after the first turnover down the red zone, the one that was in the end zone, where I started to make comments about shutout type stuff. Like, gosh, I think I said, you know, one thing about Frost, you knew he'd dial up a big play at some point and get a score, so you never got shut out. How did it feel? What was the vibe watching it from home?
You know, I found it interesting. I even noticed, like, I'm not allowing myself to be too affected by this.
Yeah.
You know, especially with it being so low scoring. Towards the end of the third quarter, it was starting to look like we were finding our stride defensively for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But like, man, when is the last time that you saw Nebraska have a huge play where they just air it out and somebody actually catches the ball? Like, when's the last time that we had a 20-yard pass downfield? Like, it doesn't happen at Nebraska anymore. And I'm sure there were a couple of them last season or whatever. But, like, I compare that against, you watch any other college football game and there are big plays in these other games, and it's like, why can't we have that with Nebraska football? Like, what the heck is going on? Like, and so it just, like, it was another one of those in the trenches, I hope we can eke this one out type of game. And, you know, it's 10-3. I don't know how far into the fourth quarter, but people on Twitter, they started closing the book. They started saying, we're going to win this game. I can't believe it. We're actually going to do it. And I'm just like, what are you people doing? If anybody should know at this point that you don't count your chickens before they're hatched, it's Nebraska fans.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so responding to a couple different things there, I mean...
Sorry.
No.
You already got me going off the
only, edge. About the only way we had big plays the last few years in the passing game was with transfers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had Trey Palmer last year and Toure the year before. So we did have some big plays, but it was only because of free agents that we brought in. We haven't been able to develop a wide receiver for a long time. So there's that. And I do, during... You know, in the third quarter, when were we up at 10 at one point, like 13-3 or something?
No.
Or no.
No, we never got past 10.
Yeah, you're right. 10-3. I mean, it felt good. If not, you know, not that we were going to win, but that we had a formula to win.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if all things stayed the same, we could win. So I feel good about... Well, okay. I feel really good about special teams. Special teams were really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ain't going to be ranked in the 100s this year.
That's true. I am very curious to see where we land in SP Plus special teams. Got to be kind of hopeful. So we're recording on Saturday here, and aren't there games as late as Monday?
There are games tonight, tomorrow, and Monday. So we probably won't have access to that information for a while.
Okay, so, but, you know, I think you're right. I mean, things looked good.
Yeah.
The players running with purpose when receiving the ball. There was one, I guess the first drive was a punt that dribbled all the way down to the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't rewatched the game. I don't know that I will.
Oh, yeah.
previous, you know, 2019, 2018, Justin would have. The Bushini was looking good. The West Side kicker looked good. I mean, lots to be excited about. Coverage was good. And maybe I'm missing something glaring here, but I mean, that's as good as I've felt about special teams after a game since
probably 5 years.
if not longer.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably should have felt good about them before they got so terrible. In retrospect, they were maybe better than we realized. So anyway, yeah. I felt good about special teams. Feel real good about the run defense.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Minnesota has beat us in the past is just kind of wearing you down by running on you. And I don't have the stat in front of me, but I think they had 2.2 yards per carry. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And when we ran it, it was pretty effective. I wish we'd run a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a touchdown the play before the false start?
I think it was. It looked very much like a touchdown to me. And everybody keeps saying, oh, well, you can't see exactly when his elbow actually hit. But the problem is you can clearly see the ball cross before, like, people are like, oh, well, I don't know if it crosses the line. All it has to do is be touching the line, people. The very tip of that football just has to cross the threshold of the smallest blade of grass that's painted white in order for it to be a touchdown. The ball doesn't have to cross the whole line or anything like that. It's like, imagine there's a laser. You trip the laser, touchdown. I think the laser got tripped.
Why don't we have a laser? Why isn't there like a microchip at both points of the ball and maybe like, I don't know.
Because there's so many other things. Well, yeah, I guess if you have something that, there's too much. But I mean, like, why wasn't there a pylon cam at least for this game?
Well, pylon cam. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if there's any athletic department that could like pioneer that, it would be ours.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
So, okay, I've got...
It was just such a screwy turn of events, though.
I've got stats here. So, they averaged 2.2 yards per carry. We averaged 4.9.
Okay.
Sims, 19 carries for 117 yards.
That's more than we want.
Yeah. Gabe Irvine Jr., 7 carries, 55 yards. That's 7.9 yards per carry.
Hmm.
Anthony Grant, we're really high up, relatively speaking. Our buddy 601 is probably higher. Although these seats continued further back, whereas section 6, the 600s maybe is mm-hmm. leaning out more.
Yep.
So he might actually have better seats. But there was a run where he did his I'm not going to commit and cut through the hole. I'm going to juke a few times more.
Mm.
And I was like, well, that was Anthony Grant.
I don't need to see too clearly. Yeah. I don't need the replay to figure out what the number is on the back. Yeah.
Yeah. Ramir, 1 carry for -1 yard.
Okay.
I thought he was going to be a lot bigger piece. He had 4 catches.
Well, he might be going forward.
He had 2 catches for 2 yards. Excuse me, 2 targets with 2 catches for 6 yards.
Okay.
Got to learn how to read the stats here. Buscini, 3 kicks, 143 yards. That's 47.7 yards per kick. A 60 yard long, and then all 3 were inside the 3. The 20.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how quickly we forget? Like, that was an amazing performance on special teams, and I think there's a lot of people who are just casual fans who like that didn't even register to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, special teams is almost like the IT department. you don't realize how good you've got it until everything is like on fire in a server room back somewhere.
Sure,
but whatever. Yeah, but now that they're doing their job, people are gonna be forgetting about them, you know. But at the same time, like, you're supposed to make that field goal, you know. You're supposed to punt it for positive yardage.
So Tristan Alvano mm-hmm. kicked the field goal. He also did 2 of the kickoffs, and Buscini did the 3rd kickoff.
Okay.
So we just walked through some stats here. I guess big picture, coming into this game, I think when we did our season preview last week, my thought was PJ's got an established culture. He might be reloading a little bit, but he's got a system. Ours is new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's working out the kinks here, and you could definitely see that. So as disappointing as it was, and maybe the way we lost in the last few minutes and the timeliness or untimeliness of the turnovers, I walked out of the stadium feeling hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a positive trajectory. This is a positive first step. I feel like I saw a culture that I like. I feel like I saw toughness. I saw good tackling for the most part.
Yeah.
I see a quarterback that can run the ball well. I'm not sure he can't carry it. What did I say? 19 times? He can't carry it 19 times a game through the Big Ten. He's going to get killed. I know he's a big dude, but he's going to be hurt.
Yeah.
But he also can't throw three interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the predicament we find ourselves in. Yeah, I think what the easy route to take after this week, especially if you don't consider all the positives that you just listed off, is that people are going to say, well, 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 Nebraska played a game where they fought tough, but because of interceptions and fumbles, they gave the winning team the ball with, what, a minute to go or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know? They lost another one-score game. You know, I think it just follows the script too much that's all that people are going to latch on to without realizing that this truly is a different team. We lost in a very familiar way this past week, but I think anybody who has been paying attention can see that this is not the same type of team that we've had the last several years.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, there better be progress this season. We can't be having the type of discussion we're having today in October, you know?
Right. Well, so I was trying to think of how to make this metaphor work here, but the honeymoon's over.
Right.
But a marriage is not a honeymoon, right? It's it's work, and there's good times and there's bad times, but you're together in sickness and in health. And you know, I trust Rule. I have no reason to not. And if you're feeling existential dread about who we have as a coach right now, get off the internet.
Yeah.
Dude. What is the phrase that they use on Twitter these days? Like, go out and step in the grass or something?
Go and touch grass, yeah.
Go and touch grass.
You know, I saw a tweet, and it was from some, I mean, they had a blue check, but what does that mean anymore?
It means they bought it, Mike.
Right. But I saw it, but it was some, like, pro or, no, it wasn't pro. It was some kind of football stats thing. Mm. And they said something about there have been X number of one-score losses in the Frost and Rule era. And I was like, no, 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 no.
Take those words out of your mouth.
We are one game into the Rule era. You don't get to lump the last six, at this point, the last 9 years of what happened in Nebraska in with what Rule is doing. And actually, even he himself said, our loss today had nothing to do with what happened before I was here. I'm not concerned with that stuff, you know? And that's actually, for me, that's another positive. You know, we're talking about things that we saw on the field. How nice is it to see a coach in the post-game press conference who doesn't look like a deer in the headlights after a loss like that?
You know, I didn't watch. I ended up being in the parking garage for about 45 minutes.
Mm.
And then I was so tired. I had Wednesday morning, I was on a 5:30 flight from Omaha. My alarm went off here in Lincoln at 3.
Oof.
And it was just a really long few days. And I was wiped out when I finally got home or got back to my Airbnb and was busy. I never watched the press conference. This is an irresponsible podcaster here, but when we get done here, I think I might watch his podcast, press conference. What else? Did you say anything else of note?
Well, it's just, you know, he was continuing to hit on the same notes that he was before this game. You know, like, hey, we're going to keep working on this. We're going to start preparing for next week. It just he said again, we've talked about this a little bit with his, you know, his PR abilities are off the charts, but like, he really seems to have bought into his own vision for what this team needs to be, right?
Yeah, like, he believes it.
Yeah, he believes in himself in a way that I don't think we ever saw from Frost, except for when he first got hired and was, you know, chumming it up with all his buddies.
I think Frost was a pretty confident guy, mm-hmm. but Rule has more of a relevant track record.
Yeah, yeah.
To draw from. And it's not his first rodeo, and in so many ways it was for Scott. And let's stop talking about Scott.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that is something that is different. You know, if people are trying to say this is the same team, no, this is something that I noticed that is encouraging to me, that we have a coach after a loss like this who isn't just like, I don't know, we're gonna try hard to die, just can't explain what just happened. Well, you need to know what just happened so you can fix it, you know?
Sure.
But, yeah, anyway. So I'm looking at ESPN's site for this game. We crossed the threshold into Nebraska being favored as the victor at 14:03 left in the third quarter.
So the beginning of the third quarter.
I guess. I'm trying to figure out what the difference was. Oh, okay. So it's once we scored that touchdown, we became favored to win 60%. Then it kind of dipped down to close to 50%. Then by the time we were up 10-3, it was 77.5%. And then right before Minnesota threw their touchdown pass, we were at 94% probability of winning the game. So on the third, what is it?
And they did jump off sides on that touchdown pass too, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. Yeah. They missed a few of those. I forget what it was. I think their left tackle was moving early a few times. And on that play, it was particularly egregious. It was a false start for sure.
Yeah, so, the stomach.
Yep. So, yeah. And so we were at 85% chance of victory with 2 minutes and 38 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And then it dropped dramatically. It's just like, I wonder how many graphs we can overlay on top of each other and figure out, like, what is the moment in a game that Nebraska has lost it? But, but if anything, again, that is proof, whether you're for us or against us, that you never, ever, ever leave a game early.
Well, yeah.
You never leave a game early, people.
I didn't have any clear idea of what was going to happen. I think that was the main point coming in, is just nobody has any idea what's going to happen. But it did seem like it could be a close game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we would not be able to match up over the long term, that little mistakes would get us down. But I thought we were going to win.
Yeah.
Toward the end there.
Yep.
So it's disappointing. But this is a long-term deal we're involved in here, and we're building a program, and it was a valuable first step. And
you did predict this game would be a loss, did you not?
I did. Yeah. Yep. Did you call it a win?
I did.
Yeah. The coin flip called it a win too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The coin flip had us starting off 8-0, I think, or 7-0.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Never trust a coin.
Right.
What else is there to be said about this game?
Hmm.
My wife watched on here at home, and she said that they talked about Sanders more than they talked about PJ.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, every bumper. Just every chance, every lull in the action, they would run a promo and then talk about him for couple minutes. But I mean, they were pushing the big noon kickoff, you know, so
yeah.
Well, hey, that kind of is a nice transition into maybe we start talking about Colorado at this point.
Yeah. Did you watch the game today?
I watched, I started watching about halfway through the third quarter when, I don't know if it was this game, if it was this way for the whole game, but it was in shootout mode by the time I started watching. It was like, whoever gets the ball, they're probably going to score. So.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. The Coach Sanders' son is talented. Mm-hmm. They've got some really good wide receivers. I'm not sure how good TCU's defense was. And also TCU, I think, ran for over 250 yards.
Did they?
So I almost feel like we got to employ what PJ usually tries to do to us, which is you just really long drives.
Mm-hmm.
And you out physical them, and their defense has no gas left. And then you got to get some three and outs. You know, you got to get some stops. And they were not perfect. They were able to. TCU was able to sack Colorado a few times, and they got a few stops. I feel like our defensive backs are pretty decent. That was the thing about the Minnesota game. Sorry to backtrack a little bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like even when it was second and short and third and short, our defensive backs played off quite a ways and just gave them the under route because they just weren't going to get beat deep. So I don't know how much of that was us being afraid of their scheme or if that's what the 3-3-5 does for you, or yeah, I'm not sure what the strategy was there, but it did seem like we played. And then they made a living off of underneath throws, and they were really good. They needed 7 yards and they'd get 8, or they needed 5 yards and they'd get 6. They were really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is as painful as the timely or untimely turnovers were and the stupid penalties, the consistency with which Minnesota was able to convert those plays was, I think, probably the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I think we can get some stops against Colorado. I don't know that we can score a million points.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully this week, hopefully they just played a Big 12 game and they are now going to get sucked into a Big 10 game.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching the game and I was just thinking to myself, I was like, is it better or worse for us if Colorado wins this game? I think it's worse for us.
Why is that?
I think that they are going to be even more jacked up and ready to go. They're probably going to have the best week of practice that they've had in years this week, getting ready for their home opener against Nebraska with Deion Sanders coaching for the first time, and he already won the first game on the road. Oh, but maybe they overhyped
the team that
themselves.
Played the national championship game.
Yeah,
because Minnesota couldn't take care of business.
Yeah, but maybe
they Minnesota, Michigan couldn't take care of business.
Right. Maybe they overhype themselves though, like we did against Colorado the first time Frost played them.
Maybe.
Do you remember how amped up our kids were to the point where they started making dumb mistakes?
Yeah.
So maybe they will get a taste of that this time, I hope.
Hey,
I don't know.
Do you remember how Mike Riley's first game as Nebraska coach ended?
I have zero recollection. I don't even know if it was a win or a loss.
BYU, Hail Mary, beat us.
Is it really?
Do you remember that?
No, not it's a. I'm blanking on that, man.
Nebraska, BYU.
September 5th, 2015. Good grief. Stunning last play spoiled the debut of new Nebraska coach Mike Riley.
And I remember the bowl season before, BYU had gotten in a big fight, and some of those guys were playing. But yeah, the reception was down in the south end zone where I sit and also where the Wester catch was.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Oh, gosh. This stat, this is from OregonLive.com. The Huskers lost their season opener for the first time since 1985, ending the nation's longest streak.
We thought things were rough then.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
You know, if Sanders can develop a really good team here, I got to think they're going to change the rules to make it so you can't do that again. Because, you know, just completely gutting your team and completely bringing in new guys. It's not college football. It's free agency.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the pros do.
Yeah, he was able to really maximize some quirks in the way things work right now.
Can't blame a guy for using the rules to his advantage.
No, I mean, he did what he could. Mm-hmm. But don't you think, like, if that this is wildly successful this year, that they change the rules and say, you can't do that anymore?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Because that's not what we want college football to be. With the NIL and the transfer stuff, yeah. Like, it's already getting away from, you know, it's a semi-pro deal already. So, you know, so then maybe on the flip side, people say, well, it's a semi-pro deal already. Of course you need to have free agency.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess for the, what?
And with all this going on, we still don't have a video game? Sorry.
That is funny. The game has lost so much of, like, the innocent joy, I feel like, and just having a group of mercenaries come in and then maybe be really successful just strips even more out. Because, I mean, this is why Rule was a good college coach and not a good pro coach, is because he's here to develop and kids and grow young men. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope Sanders is, I hope we beat him.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. I'm looking at ESPN's matchup predictor, according to ESPN analytics. I don't know if this has been updated in light of the last 3 days, but they're giving us 75.6% chance of victory. That has to not be reflecting.
I think that's probably old. And I've seen people say the betting lines have already come way down.
Okay.
We were favored by 2 touchdowns, and now the last I saw, and I don't keep up on these things, so it's probably different already, but it was down to like 2.5 points.
Which I think is more realistic anyway. So, but dang.
I saw Fopolini said, turns out if you get rid of all your bad players and add great players, you'll be a lot better.
Yep. Oh, man. It'll be interesting to see how people talk this week. I fully anticipate it, just because it's such low-hanging fruit, that we're going to see all kinds of just terrible takes about how nothing's different. Nebraska is still cursed. You know, I mean, I guess we're already seeing a lot of that stuff on Twitter.
Oh, I was going to say, I've already seen a ton of that already.
It's why do we have to wait so long to play another game? But maybe that's good for our team. Maybe having the extra couple of days to prepare is really good for them, you know?
It is going to be like the longest week ever, considering the game was on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of Huskers out there, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going out for work there as well. Usually don't travel back-to-back like this, but worked out that way, and so excited to be in Colorado for a little bit. Not sticking around for the game, though. We'll be back because, you know, as you may have heard, we're going to do a live show right after the game.
Don't feel like getting batteries thrown at you either, huh?
Not really.
Is that true? Do you think that actually happened?
I don't know. I saw on Twitter, I guess it's X now, that some Minnesota fans were saying they had corn thrown on them after we scored a touchdown. It was like
maybe corn kernels. Maybe kernels. Yeah. I could see somebody like throwing kernels like it's confetti or something.
When I first saw that, my first thought was corn cobs, which is like, oh, that's dangerous. But yeah, probably kernels seems more likely. Also, we all had to walk through metal detectors and get searched. No, we didn't get patted down or anything, but yeah, I guess it would be a lot easier to transport kernels.
A bag of
excuse me, sir. What's in your
bag of corn kernels down your pants?
Does everybody fill their pockets with corn kernels?
That's just the way they come from Nebraska, I guess. Kind of like
so. We don't really
never mind.
Have any stats. I was gonna say there's not much to go. I mean, there's not much to go on for Colorado other than the game they just had because their roster's all new. Mm-hmm. So. It was an impressive performance. I think they had 4 wide receivers with over 100 yards receiving. And the stat that they showed during the game was that in the last year, they'd had 2 players have 100 yard receiving yard games all season. They had 4 in one game.
Yeah.
Maybe next week we have four rushers over 100 yards.
That'd be great. I'd be up for that.
I don't know Satterfield's tendencies yet, but there were a couple times in the fourth quarter where they passed it. Did we have a 3-and-out drive where we threw it 3 times?
Yes.
When we were trying to stall out the clock.
That was when I tweeted, I hope that we're not talking about this after the game.
Mm.
I hope we're not talking about this whole next week. But that was significant to me because we had taken the lead. It seemed like we had control of the game. And then I was like, we're far enough into this that we should be burning clock. And we had 3 passes in a row.
Yeah.
We tried throwing it on first down. Yeah. It was incomplete. And then I was like, well, you got to throw it on third down.
Right.
And it was another incompletion. It was just like, what? No. And then I think it was the next time we got the ball was when the fumble happened. So it was just like, good grief.
Oh, well, we've got 11 games ahead, maybe 12, hopefully 12. That was one that I think many were counting towards 6 wins, not necessarily I. But, you know, we're not in this to win them all, obviously, as fans. So let's just get excited about another big game.
Yeah. Justin, you know what I think we need to do? We didn't do it last week.
What?
Do you want to do score prediction?
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't do it last week because we did all of the games.
Yeah. It didn't even occur to me until right now that we didn't do a score prediction last week.
I actually thought about it for the first time earlier while we were recording. Mm.
I did make a score prediction, but just not with you. Did you make a score prediction somewhere?
Oh, I think I said to friends 24-17, and then when I was on the Go Big Red Pass live show, I think Rob said 24-17, and I said I could see it going the other way, so losing by that margin too.
I said 28-27. I thought we'd score more.
I could see something like that for this game, 28-27.
Yeah. I was actually just about to say maybe I'll have that be my prediction for this one.
I could see us, you know, the way it would hopefully go is that we contain them in the first half while hopefully battering them physically, and maybe that doesn't really lead to a lot of points, but in the second half when everybody's got a good sense of what the other team's doing, things start to open up a little bit. They maybe hit a long pass or two, and our 3- and 4-yard runs start becoming 8- and 15-yard runs. And
you know,
yep,
I'm gonna predict mayhem. You ready for this?
Sure.
I'm gonna predict 29-25 Nebraska.
Okay, I'll write that down in our document here. In the past, we've been more systematic, but
weird stuff has to happen to get that score right.
Super weird.
Yeah.
There's got to
be a safety for one of those scores, right?
Sure.
I feel like the only way you can get to 25.
I'm sure a field goal and missed PAT or something could get you there.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a couple of missed or two. Point afters. I'm just imagining safeties or, like, we field a missed point after and take it back to get a point. Isn't that how that works? Don't you get 1 point if you return somebody else's extra point?
I thought it was 2.
Is it 2 points?
I know what you're getting at. There's some scenario.
It's a touchdown if you field a field goal and run it back, right?
Uh-huh.
But on a point after, if you it might be 2.
But yeah, but if you fumbled the snap and picked it up and ran it into your own end zone, it would be 2.
That's so weird.
2. All right, I'll go. I feel like I need to pick something different than what you have here.
Okay. 29-25 is my official prediction.
29-25. I'll say I really like the score prediction that you had for last week.
The 28-27?
Yeah. I'll go 24-23. How about?
Okay.
I feel like based on what we just saw, it's going to be hard to keep Colorado
out of the end zone a few times.
Game.
Yeah.
But I, you know, TCU might just be a terrible defense.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that occurred to me. It was like, this game is so offense heavy, it's hard to tell if either of these teams' offenses are good or if both defenses are really terrible. Or maybe one defense is terrible and the one offense is really good. Who knows? We don't know.
There were some objectively great plays. The guy that came from Jacksonville State with Coach Sanders played, I think he played 110 snaps. He played both ways. Had an interception and 100 yards receiving, and he was amazing. He's a real athlete.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be hard to contain someone like that all game.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Speaking of scary, guess what I did for the first time ever today?
What?
I walked into a Spirit Halloween store.
What led you to do this?
I'm scoping out costumes for my band because we're playing at Valles again this year. So.
Oh, yeah?
And they have asked us to bring costumes into the mix because we're playing on Friday the 13th. And so it's going to be a whole shindig that night.
How intense are these costumes going to be?
I mean, we got to be able to play instruments and sing. So, like, you're not going to see me, like, wearing a full-on blow up costume or anything like that, or you know.
Friday after I landed in Omaha, I was driving back to Lincoln. I think it was the first day at Valles, and the parking lot was packed.
Yep.
And the roads leading up to it were bumper to bumper all the way to the interstate.
Yeah. I don't want to tell people my secret way of getting there, but
I have one too. Let's keep those to our we'll talk about those off the air.
Yeah, there's ways to get there without waiting in line for 2 hours. So
yeah. But we'll keep that between us. You know what? If you come to the Herd at Sports Bar and Grill to hang out with us, maybe we'll tell you.
Yeah. There you go, folks.
Maybe. But these are significant secrets.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that back up. For real, if you are listening to this podcast, we would love to see you on Saturday. Here's the thing. We don't know who anybody is because it's the internet, right? Like,
yeah.
So like, how are you going to know it's us? Justin and I, we have new stickers that we made that we're going to be handing out, giving out to people for free. So if you see a Husker Pod sticker or see somebody holding one, or maybe you even should put them on as little badges. I don't know.
Something. I don't know if I want to go that far.
You don't want to go that far? We'll be holding a single white rose.
Oh, maybe I'll wear a sticker. Who paid for them?
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to be giving away stickers, and, you know, I guess you can recognize our voices. You have a one-up on us. Like, we don't know who you are. Hey, I'm that guy from Twitter. I don't know, like, what your voice sounds like. You know what my voice sounds like. So just listen for me and come say hi. I'd love to shake your hand. Maybe we could even take a selfie. I don't know how that works. I don't take selfies.
Oh, but you don't know how selfies work?
I mean, like, I don't know the whole, like, Michael. I don't know. You hold it out, or I'd rather just hand the phone to somebody else, and we'll take a photo with you.
Okay? I'll do a selfie with you.
Yeah. Justin will, I think Justin is now charging. It's kind of like Cameo. If you want him to record your voicemail message, he'll do it for a small fee.
Sure.
This is Mike from the Husker Pod. Jeff can't come to the phone right now because he's busy listening to the Husker Pod.
I thought of two related Minnesota related things that I need to say.
Okay.
Waiting for a response there. First, I believe that we did win the Bits of Broken Chair giving trophy, right?
Oh, awesome. That's great.
I haven't looked into it because I did not do any research in advance of this call, but I think I did see that we ended up with 17,000 something and they ended up with 15,000 something. So that is fantastic.
That's amazing.
And thanks to all who gave, and props to the folks at the Bits of Broken Chair trophy. I know in the past we've had them on and weren't able to get that done this year. But
yeah,
that's really
cool.
I
saw something from them where they said that this year they've finally crossed the threshold of they have raised more than $150,000.
That's real money, folks. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
So then the second thing was, you were talking about meeting people offline. I met Vegas Jer at the live show. So that was really
awesome.
Fun. And
cool.
he had on a yellow corn shirt like he does in his avatar, I think.
Nice.
So anyway, that was, I did recognize somebody when I saw him. So it is fun. It's fun to see people offline. Come on down to the Herd At Sports Bar and Grill. Have a bison burger or not. Just come and hang out with us.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see an exciting, season-changing, program-defining victory.
That'd be so, so good.
Or even just an insignificant victory that we can say, okay, that happened.
Yep. Yeah, we don't want to make too big of a deal out of it. No, I'm going to go nuts if we win.
Who are we kidding?
Right. All right, Justin. As I often say, I think we're there.
Yeah, but I feel like there was way less stupid chatter here at this point.
Yeah. It's Saturday night.
I feel like it's been substantive. But I do think we're there. Go Big Red, Mike.
Go Big Red.
Heard at Sports Network production.